This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or you can be!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
It's time for the Brian Roux Show on Revolution Radio, coming to you from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Brian and his guests talk about the big picture, the worldview of reality with good and evil. They explore the truth and lies from aliens to globalists to advanced ancient civilizations.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Welcome to Revolution Radio. This is the Brian Roux Show on Tuesday, January 24th, 2023, coming to you from one of the most beautiful cities in the world, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. This is a very special January 24th, because in all of human history, this is the only January 24th in 2023. It's the only one we'll ever have in the future as well, the only one, so I'd like to welcome you to January 24th. So my big interest is extraterrestrials and UFOs, particularly who's in those UFOs. So this is my big focus. I'd like to invite you to my meetup group. You can join our talks, be part of the video. We sometimes get 10 or 20 people on a Zoom. So you go to meetup.com or call Preparing for ET Contact. And last week, I was playing a talk by Ray Hernandez. He's the director of the Conscious Contact Research Institute. So I'd like to continue with that. But first, I'd like to invite you to phone in. I'm taking calls now at the top of the first hour or the top of the second hour. So now is your chance to ask questions, make a comment on the Brian Roux Show. So here's the number. You can write this down. It's area code 603-635-4946. And you're not making a long distance call to Canada. Don't worry about that. It's all an American number. So you can call in now. And I played parts 1, 2, and 3. It's a 4.5 hour meetup we had with like 24 people. Really good back and forth, intelligent questions as well. And this is the best scientific evidence covering a large survey of over 4,000 people who have experienced extraterrestrials. So it's very important science. He's got 20 PhDs involved, really good, credible source. So I wanted to do more talks with Ray Hernandez and other members of the Conscious and Contact Research Institute called CCRI. And their website is called agreaterreality.com. So I'll continue where we left off. I was just finishing part three last week. So I'll continue with where we left off. This is actually on YouTube. My YouTube channel is called, or group YouTube channel is called Preparing for ET Contact. So it's right on YouTube. So here we go, folks.
in regards to healing, there's so many different modalities to healing. I mean, look, in the end, we all know we're consciousness. We've all got a relationship with consciousness. The way that we've seen people get healed through the Zetas and other beings.
Or group is they just preparing for each contact.
It's a no-brainer. It's pretty simple. Absolutely. But what people do is people create this whole complex belief system and ideology around healing. That's the problem. And these extraterrestrial beings that we see, they're just facets of consciousness.
For each
in individuated form. It's a no-brainer. Yes. And they show themselves to us in a way that we can accept only.
Correct.
And that's why I think this is why everybody's struggling across the planet, because we're all trying to say, well, this is my experience. But other people are going, but that wasn't my experience. Well, it can't be, because God individuated itself.
Yes.
And exactly. That individuated form, it then is experiencing itself. That's all it comes down to.
Correct, Paul. Yes, 110% correct. That's why I highlighted in my presentation, I said there were literally tens of thousands of different types of beings that people were interacting with, and that these experiences, not only, you know, the NDE, but the OBE, the astral travel experiences, the UFO contact experiences, they're all tailored to you as an individual, because they're not exactly the same, you know, like no one has had anything close to my experiences. I mean, I've had a whole boatload, you know, nothing has come close. Okay. There are certain commonalities. Okay. But they were tailored to my experiences. And also a lot of these intelligences. Okay. Some people call them beings. I don't, because that suggests a physicality to it. Okay. A lot of these intelligence have told people, look, we're just appearing this way because you'll feel comfortable to it. Or this is the way that we're manifesting in this reality, you know, to it. So, again, as Paul knows, this is a mindset which is so difficult to overcome, you know, it's so extremely difficult for people to begin to understand. But I begin to talk a lot about that in my book, The Mind of God. I forgot the lady from Vancouver.
Gina?
Oh, Gina, if you send me an email, I would recommend for you to read that book first, okay?
I'm totally sending you an email. I want those books and those articles.
Yeah, that lays out the theoretical construct, the foundation to begin to understand these really new paradigms of viewing our reality. And it talks about exactly what Paul just said. You know, that's just, you know, one of the many topics involved in it. But again, these are topics which are not easily digestible. Certainly not to a materialist ufologist, you know, they would call that, you know, woo-woo metaphysical stuff, you know, but if you combine that with what modern science is discussing, you will see that they're saying the same thing, you know, that there's no differences here.
So I want to ask you, Ray, do you want to have a break for 5 or 10 minutes? I mean, we've got lots of time, we've got all afternoon.
No, I'm fine. I love talking about these things, obviously, because, I mean, I've just met Paul and his partner for the first time. I had no idea who this man was, you know.
The question and answer period is great. Like after presentation, this is where the magic happens. Yeah, I just want to suggest people, when people ask you questions, it's okay to also have a follow-up question, because I kind of understand things are getting deep.
Yeah. So that's and good. Also, again, if I respond, it's not like I haven't clarified it like I did earlier with my fellow friend there in terms of the time length. You know, if I would have expounded, that would have taken another 5 minutes to explain the details. But basically, my argument, let me address that a little bit. I forgot your name. Chet, is it Chet?
Okay. Shecky. We have Shecky. You mean Shecky. Yeah. Shecky. Okay. Rich Sheck. We call him Shecky. He's been with us for 2 years. He's an old buddy.
Okay, so basically what I started off my book is I started off The Mind of God with a quote from Edgar Mitchell. Edgar, pretty much the last few years of his life, and I was a very dear friend of his. I was there at his deathbed 2 days before he died, okay? And I was at his home only 90 minutes away from where I lived over 20 times. And we became very close. We had a lot of personal, intimate conversations over the years. And over the last few years, he was very, very much concerned about us as a human species exterminating ourselves, that we're actually heading towards that if we don't stop it. Okay. And so he had a quote that I used. It was like a long paragraph quote to talk about that. And so then I then address the question is, to me, the four major contact modalities are people that have seen ghosts and spirits, the UFO contact phenomenon, the near-death experience phenomenon, and the out-of-body slash out-of-body experience phenomenon. There are obviously many others, but to me, those are the four most important ones. And the topic of ghosts and spirits has been talked about since the dawn of mankind. Okay. So then I looked at the other three, and what I realized that three of these contact modalities were spread throughout humanity at a global scale within 5 years of each other. Okay. As I said earlier, you know, the UFO stuff really was popularized by Star Trek after they were syndicated in 1970. NDE was 1975 with Raymond Moody's book, and the OBE was popularized by Higher Journeys and Robert Monroe's books, okay? That was 1972. So then you lead to the question, as most major experiencers know, there are no synchronicities, okay? Everything is all pre-planned here. So, you know, why was this pre-planned that within 5 years of each other, this is before the internet. Now, there aren't any young folks here that I could see here, but this is before the internet. Why did these things get spread to humanity within 5 years of each other? So my response was that humanity has reached the point of self-destruction through two primarily vehicles, but there's others, but the two primary ones, as we all know, are nuclear proliferation and ecological self-destruction. Okay. And it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Okay. And so, so what are the messages that people are receiving? The UFO contact experiencers. Well, they're receiving two messages primarily. Okay. As shown in our research study, one is that we need to become more spiritual, much more loving to each other. And secondly, we're destroying our planet. We need to change our ways, okay, to become much more ecologically friendly. In a near-death experience, what are we learning? What we're learning is once we're told, no, you can't stay here. You got to go back. No, I don't want to go back. I want to stay here. This is my home, okay? No, you got to go back. And remember, it's not important what religion you are. It's not important how much money you have, okay? It's not important how famous you are. What's important is that you, as Ray Hernandez, need to learn how to love. That's the most important message by far. We need to learn how to love, okay? And then in a near-death experience, people are only a fraction of people are shown ecological destruction of our planet Earth. It's unlike the UFO contact phenomenon, but many are shown that. You know, I'm not saying that there's no cases of that. There's lots of cases of that. So then the point is that these contact modalities, same thing with out-of-body experiencers, et cetera, they're being shown very similar examples, okay? And so that's how I started off my book, that we need to change as a species. And then I go into the whole topic of, you know, the nature of consciousness being primary. I go over 11 commonalities that all of the contact modalities share. And the last one that I highlighted was love, the importance of love. Okay. And so anyway, that's a little background. Okay.
This is great, Ray. You're on a roll. So I think Aspen is next. Aspen had her hand up. Okay, folks, that's the end of part 3 of 5. So I'll carry on with part 4. It's Ray Hernandez, Conscious and Contact Research Institute Director. Question and answer, part 4 of 5.
Decondensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness, experience itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we are the...
Aspen is next. Aspen had her hand up.
Hi, Aspen, Ray. Are you there? Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, yeah. Aspen. I can hear you.
Hi,
you can have
thank
your camera
you.
Off if you want.
Yeah,
she's somewhere in the United States.
I'm in San Antonio, so but I have really terrible AT&T internet right now. I'm getting Google Fiber next week, so I can't use my camera right now. But Brian asked me to read to you, Ray, a quote that I posted that you probably can't see while you're talking. And do you know the comedian Bill Hicks?
No.
Oh, way beyond his time. And this is the quote. This is one of his really famous quotes. He was talking about how people really just hated psychedelics and everything that they were, and always tried to couch psychedelic experiences in tragedies. So he said, this is what I'd like to see on the news today instead of the one about the guy who took LSD, freaked out, and jumped off a bridge and died. He said, today a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness, experience itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves. And now here's Tom with the weather. That's what he wanted the news coverage to be. So that's the first thing. Thank you for your talk. I am so blown away. I don't even know where to start. I have a couple of questions and a couple of just short comments, if that's okay.
Let me just comment on what you said, is that recently there has been an explosion of psychedelic research all around the world. And in the English-speaking countries, they've been headed up by John Hopkins University and the University of London.
Yes.
And so the research pretty much matches almost exactly what I've been saying. So so what your friend said, comedian, is right on cue.
Absolutely. Well, my own experience with a salvia and numerous different trips is I met all kinds of fabulous beings. Some were really scary at the time and had wicked personalities that really wanted to mess with you, not in an evil way, but just to, you know, expand your consciousness by force. And others were extremely benign and beautiful. I was, I felt myself to be at the edge of the universe on what I thought was a tall high dive diving board. And I could see the vast expanse of the whole universe in front of me. And I felt a multitude of what we might call ETs. I would call them NHIs now, all waiting for me to decide if I'm going to jump off and be in the universe. And every time I tried to turn my head and see them, my whole perspective would shift. So they would never show me themselves, but I always felt that tremendous, overwhelming sense of love and security. So I have no doubt whatsoever. So that's one quick comment. Another one is, one of the kinds of what I would call the contact experiences that I've had repeatedly is what I call training dreams. And it's where I get a very fast flashing of all kinds of different faces or bodies shown in front of me. Some what we would call in a human frame of reference, very horrible and scary, and then others that are benign and others that are human and familiar or animals that we know, terrestrial beings. And they all flash really fast, repeatedly. And I'm told in my own voice, but I know it's someone teaching me saying, we want you to get used to seeing different forms of life so you're not afraid when you meet them in person. So to me, that's a very important way that I look at the experiences. And I agree with you 100% that it's consciousness first and everything else derives from that. We're all part of one creator source. All of that is fine. And I really honestly don't care if it's physical, if I'm going to touch the ET's hand and say hi, or I'm just going to meet them in my mind or my heart space, immaterial. But that's just what I wanted to say, that there's this very intentional contact about desensitization to allow us to become more ready. The other thing I wanted to say had to do with Paul's point is that it's all energy healing is just being realigned to the energetic template. I'm a gong master, a sound healer. We work with gong healing. And I agree. It's all about light, sound, and vibration, bringing your physical template back into alignment as much as possible with your etheric template that you were born with into this incarnation and going back to the Akashic records of what you're supposed to be in this lifetime. So that's just one other quick comment. And now my questions. Number one, I'd love to hear what you have to say about SDEs, the shared death experiences in connection with NDEs. I've had SDEs, but not an NDE. And the other one I wanted to ask you about is how, if at all, has the research that your group has done worked with Dr. Rupert Sheldrake's work? And thank you so, so, so much. Really, thank you.
No, those are great insights and great comments. And you were 110% on the money, as they say. Let's start with the last question, Rupert Sheldrake. Rupert Sheldrake's theories are a corollary of Mm-hmm. Edgar Mitchell's quantum hologram theory of consciousness, almost exactly detailed. And they basically were working on their theories pretty much at the same time. So I don't need to go into more details of it, but he's 100% correct, at least from my perspective. And the other question, my goodness, my...
NDEs and SDEs.
Yeah, spiritually transformative experience. How this intelligence gave me spirituality was really a mind-bending experience. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely crazy. Here I was, one of the world's biggest atheists. I was like, I could have put my last dollar on as a bet against anyone, and that I would never become a spiritual person, you know. And what they did was that, just very briefly, again, these are all orchestrated events. After I called down my very first UFO, this huge object, the very next day, I saw my first video on near-death experiences. I was like blown away by it. I ordered like 20 used books on it. And when they came in, slowly, I started, it was 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day. That increased to 6 hours a day. When there were, you know, 5 books left, I ordered 20 more. 5 books left, 20 more. 5 books left, 20 more. And it started 4 hours a day, and this lasted for 4 months. At the very end, it was 12 to 16 hours a day. I wasn't doing any of my work. I didn't care about my family. I wasn't showering. I wasn't shaving. I wasn't brushing my teeth. I wasn't grooming. I was a total, like Howard Hughes, a crazy madman, you know? And and so I had never told anyone about NDEs except my wife. She was like, every day, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to divorce you. You're a crazy madman. You know, you need to go to a psychiatrist, you know? And I did go to a psychiatrist. He goes, well, are you seeing people that are not there? Yes. Are you hearing voices? Yes. You know, have you ever had like out of body spirit? Yes. Have you had this? Yes, yes, yes. And he was going to ready to institutionalize me, you know.
Here's your straitjacket, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And he gave me prescriptions for these heavy, you know, psychotropic medications. And I'm like, well, wait a second. My wife is having these experiences. My daughter's having these experiences. We can't be going crazy at the same exact time. You know, it just doesn't exist that way, you know. And so what had happened was, here I was, just like a madman, consuming all these books on near-death experiences. And I really became an NDE expert, including shared death experiences. There were like five or six books that were written on that topic. I read them all. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then for 3 days in a row, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I've never been a metaphysical person. I still am not. Okay. I really am not. And the very first day was Friday, December 21st, 2012. Okay. Someone later on told me, do you know the significance of that?
That was the big day, right? When Richard Dolan said, we're going to go from 3D to 5D. If you have 51% good karma, they'll flip a switch.
That's like, Mayan calendar. Mayan calendar.
The Mayan calendar. I still don't understand it. Okay. Because I'm not into the physical stuff. But someone pointed out that very first day, which is a Friday. Okay. My daughter had a low grade fever for 2 straight days. Now, my wife never worked, so she always brought her to the doctor. So that day, for whatever reason, she couldn't bring her to the doctor. So I brought her to the doctor. It was this woman that was born and raised in Argentina. Colombia. Okay. So we were there talking in Spanish, and my daughter was 10 years old. She was next to me. She goes, I got some good news. We tested her. She doesn't have fever. We checked her ear, nose, and throat. No signs of an infection. Maybe it was a bug, you know, flu, you know, and it's all gone. So she's fine. So automatically out of my voice comes a robotic voice. Okay. Excuse me, doctor. Have you ever heard the term near-death experiences? I've just finished reading approximately 300 books on this topic. Okay. And many of them were written by medical doctors such as yourself. And it's a phenomenon that you need to know about. So inside of me, I was like, what the fuck is going on? I have another person inside of me, you know? I have another person inside of me. What's going on? I am crazy. I need to go to a psychiatrist like this Monday. You know, I need to make an appointment, you know? And I was like, what the hell? And so meanwhile, the doctor's eyeballs pop out like that. I said, oh my God, now this woman thinks I'm crazy, you know? So I said, excuse me, doctor. You know, I don't know why I said that, but I apologize, you know? She goes, no, there's no need to apologize. How did you know I had one? right?
Wow.
So with my daughter next to me, she goes on and details her NDE in detail, okay? With my daughter next to me, okay? My daughter eventually had three people to talk about their NDE right in front of us with my daughter next to me. And there was a reason for that. My daughter's had other experiences as well. She's what they call a star child, you know? That's my daughter, you know? When she was 13, Daddy, I need $300 so I could redo my room. I'm a teenager now. What's the first thing to come in? A Vedic Mandela bedspread, okay? What's the second thing from Australia? It was the Australian hieroglyphics of the constellations that she used for a spread for her wall. Next comes all these crystals, you know, and then this salt lamp. She goes, lick it, and I lick it. I said, oh, my God, it's salt. She goes, what is that? It's to purify the air. And it's like all these, you know, metaphysical stuff comes in. And I'm like, I never talked to my daughter about these things. I never talk about that, you know. It was like she on her own gravitated to that arena. But anyway, I'm changing the story here. Now, I was Friday with the medical doctor. Saturday was this man, Max. He was an x-ray technician. We were at a church social function. And one of my wife's better friends was also born and raised in Mexico. And the husband, I never saw him in church. I had to go to church because there was no dinner for the rest of the week, you know, if I didn't go to church and the Thursday Hallelujah prayer ministries, you know. And so I meet her husband for the first time. The name was Max. So the same thing, the robotic voice comes out again, verbatim, right? And all of a sudden, Max's eyeballs pop out. And I'm like, I'm certified crazy. I'm not well. I need to go to a psychiatrist. And so I apologize to Max. He goes, Ray, I've never told this story to anybody. A year ago, my mother died in my arms. And then he told me that once she was resuscitated in the hospital, she talked about floating above her body, about him crying on top of her. You told me this, you told me that, all this. All of a sudden, this big, fat black man, 300 pounds, followed by a blonde woman with a short ponytail, comes crashing through the door. But Mom, how do you know that? Those are the paramedics. And then I already told you, I was floating above. I was seeing everything. And then he starts telling me everything that her mother told her about her NDE. So that was Saturday, right? So then Sunday, I always visit my parents every Sunday. I said, I need to tell this to my father because he's the Cuban Archie Bunker, you know? So I need to tell this. I need to tell this to my father, right? And so he was very, very ill. He died like a year and a half later. He was bedridden, very sick. And so we got him dressed, my mother and I, and we brought him outside. And then I told him what happened Friday, what happened Saturday, because I wanted him to die with some sense of spirituality. Not that I had any, you know, but at least I wanted to give some of it to him from those 2 days. And he looks at me. He waves his hand at me. He goes, ah, that happened to me. And I go, what? He goes, remember 16 years ago when I had a quadruple heart bypass surgery? I said, yes. I floated out of my body. I saw all the doctors, all the nurses. And all of a sudden, a vacuum cleaner sucked me up. And I was racing through this tunnel. And, you know, I won't go into all the details. But basically, he met his deceased father, his deceased mother, his deceased brother. They were all in their early 30s. They communicated telepathically. And then he tells me, I was up there 20 or 30 years. I said, what do you mean you were up there 20 or 30 years? He says, that's how long it took God to show me all the good things I had done in my life and all the bad things. And then he went and explained some of these experiences to me. And he says, I relived them not only from my body and my mind, but also at the same exact time, the body and mind of the person that I had affected. And he told me a couple of examples. And he said, hell doesn't exist. I said, what do you mean hell doesn't exist? He goes, because God is pure love. You know, he wasn't there to judge me. I was the one that judging myself, that judged myself. And God is pure love. And I'm like, this is my father, you know, the Cuban Archie Bunker, you know, telling me all these things. I was like in total shock, you know, because my father rarely spoke after his heart surgery. I thought that he was physically ill. You know, but what I realized was that this man was just reliving his experiences over and over and over and over again for 16 years because he was gone for 20 years. And so after that, he just clammed up. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. And so I turned to my mother. I said, Mom, have you ever heard about this before? This is the first time I'm hearing it. She said, we only spoke about this once when he was waking up from his surgery. He was hysterical trying to tell me something. And I was like, go back to sleep, go back to sleep. No, no, I got to tell you, go back to sleep. God damn it, I need to tell you something. And then finally she listened to him. It's exactly the same story. And she said after he went back to sleep, they never spoke about it again, you know. And so all of a sudden on my way home, I put down my windows. It was like 10:30 at night. And all of a sudden I saw the stars in the sky. And for the first time, I spoke to God. First time in my life. And I said, I want to thank you. And also these messengers, this intelligence that's working with me. I call them modern angels, you know, for lack of a better term. Okay. And I said, I want to thank you because in a 4-month period, you managed to totally transform an atheist, materialist, rationalist into someone that I don't believe. I know that I'm an eternal spiritual being. And I have that knowingness more than any Catholic priest in Miami. And for that, I want to thank you. And since then, that feeling of spirituality has never left me. And I never read an NDE book after that. I even ordered Dr. Bruce Grayson's new book, you know, because he just recently retired. I just read a few chapters in it. And that's it. It's like, you know, I know all this stuff. There's nothing new here, you know. And that sense of spirituality, as I said before, it's not a belief. It's like it's a knowingness. And that's my story. How this is all orchestrated. How what are the statistical probabilities of 3 days in a row? The very first three people I ever mentioned NDEs to, all of them told me about their NDEs. You know, same thing about how the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation got started. I didn't talk about that, but it basically got started within 50 hours. After me having an out-of-body experience while I was in my car, that they showed me all of these things, you know. And all of a sudden, I got an email from Mary Rodwell when I got home later that afternoon because I just couldn't work anymore. I left work early, and there was an email from Mary. If you ever interview Mary, ask her the same question, you know, and she will admit to it, okay, because exactly how it occurred. She sent me an email that same afternoon. Dear Ray, I'm sorry I'm responding to an email you sent me 6 months ago, but it just popped up on my computer today. Okay, so I'm sorry. And it was an email that I had sent to like 10 different famous names in the field of ufology because I had no one to turn to because I thought I was going crazy because I was having like one constant paranormal experience after another. Okay, and so he was Mary Rodwell sending me the same exact day of that experience. And I responded, well, in the last 6 months, this is all the crazy stuff that's happened in the last 6 months. And this is what happened today. And so she's like, oh, my God, Ray, we need to talk. We need to talk, you know. And we spoke till like 1:30 in the morning, my time. And I said, look, Mary, I got to go to work tomorrow, you know. And we arranged to continue our conversations. So the very next day at 9:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. Hello, is this Ray Hernandez? I said, yes. Who's this? Dr. Rudy Shields. I said, who? Who is this? I had no idea who this man was. Mary had sent him an email of my experiences. And because I had gotten downloads of consciousness and quantum physics, you know, he wanted to interview me about that because that's what he researches. So here's this man, recently retired professor of astrophysics from Harvard, calling me at 9:30 in the morning. So we then spoke for like 90 minutes. Okay. And then he said, Ray, what you got was Dr. Edgar Mitchell's quantum hologram theory of consciousness. Okay. And then he goes on and explains it. And then he says, Ray, Edgar only lives an hour and a half away from you. He says, write down this telephone number. I'm going to give Edgar a call that he needs to see you right away. And so he gave me his telephone number and I was shit scared to call Edgar. I called him like 4 hours later. And when I called him 4 hours later, he said that he and Rudy already had a very lengthy conversation about what happened to me. And then he invites me to his house. Okay. So this is within 48 hours, I was at the home of Edgar Mitchell. So again, this is orchestrated events. And a lot of people that are major experiencers here know about that. You know, Carl Jung called them synchronicities. Okay. But synchronicities is not the appropriate term. You know, these are orchestrated events. So anyway, that's just a little quick interlude about how I was given spirituality and about some of these orchestrated events that have happened to me.
Thank you, Ray. I wanted to just echo very briefly that I was also a big atheist until my father died after 5 years with ALS, and it was terrible. And I was thinking very much probably along the lines of Shecky, like, okay, why is there God? Because otherwise he wouldn't do this to such a pure human being, right? And about six months after my dad died, I was living in Yemen working for the Foreign Service. And I had this dream that was like no dream possible. It was like HD TV times a million. And it was very strange. I won't go into all the details, but it is burned in my brain until now. And I heard this phone ringing from very far away. And I go running down this hallway that gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And I pick up the phone and I say, hello. And this cartoon, you know, those cartoon clouds where the words are, you know, when somebody's going to, the comic person speaking, sorry, I'm not very articulate right now. My dad's face as he appeared before he got ALS, healthy, full, you know, not, it's emaciated, suffering being, and he had been ventilated for the last 2.5 years of his life. So we didn't hear his voice for years. And in my ear on this phone, I hear, hi, Aspen, I love you. And I'm hearing my dad's voice. And I'm looking up at this cloud with his face in it. And I said, Dad, I miss you. I love you. Where are you? And he said, I'm whole. I'm happy. I'm healthy. And I'll see you when I need to and when it's the right time. And I'm crying. And I just feel so joyful. And at the end of that dream, I was like, I'm not going to a church because my parents were raised Baptist and that wasn't happening. And I said, I don't know what it is, but there's God because I just got a message from God about my dad. My brother horribly, tragically died 6 months after my dad died. And I had the same kind of dreams where he was contacting me and saying, you know, don't worry, I'm with Dad. Everything's fine. We're all going to be together. And these angels would come between me and him and say, let him go. He has to go to his new job. Let him go. So that absolutely removed any doubt about there being a source. And that if I tried to write down a template of how to interpret that, I was going to lose the magic and I was going to lose the meaning of it all and the richness of the emotional heart connect. And that's the important part, is the heart connect, not what label do I put on it and what do I call that? Is that, you know, is that clairvoyance? Is that a mystical experience? Who cares? You had it and no one can tell you it wasn't valid. When you have that experience, no one can tell you it's wrong.
Yeah.
So I love to hear different people's experiences and thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, let me tell you of a story very, very similar to that. And there's actually several books that have been written about post-death communication. And this clearly falls under that. And many of them were actually phone calls. Now, let me give you an illustration of a man who who's the most famous ufologist in Chile. Okay. He lives in Santiago. He's actually one of the most famous ufologists in all of Latin America. You mention his name to Latin American ufologists, and it's very similar up there with the name of A.J. Guevard, which has recently passed away from Brazil.
Get him on the show. Let's bring him out to the meetup. Does he speak English?
No, that's the problem. But we can get him to translate. But he is a major ufologist, and his interest was peaked in ufology at the age of 15, where he started to see these major many UFOs, which continued over the years. And you know, very intelligent, erudite person, very scholarly. And so he was the chair of our Spanish research study. And we had a group of about 15 people that were involved in that, but he was the chair of that. And his name is Rodrigo Fuensalida, okay? And so this was years ago when he really didn't, he was a pure ufologist, materialist ufologist, okay? So then I started telling him that this is a little bit more complicated than just pure materialism, okay? And we started having that conversation. And then it was about 6 months afterwards, he told me, he says, Ray, you wouldn't believe this, okay? But this is what just happened a few days ago. And what it was that he was on a Skype call with a friend of his, okay? And all of a sudden, jumping onto the Skype call was a friend of his that had died 2 months before.
Wow, okay? That's incredible.
It's incredible. It's not only once, okay? But this one lasted for over close to an hour. And so all of a sudden this friend jumped on the call, and they were talking very personal and intimate details, you know, but over and over again, she kept on repeating, I want you to contact my father and I want you to let him know that I'm okay, that I'm fine, because he worries too much about him. That was basically, you know, the message, even though they did talk about the other side. They talked about,
do you know what the Skype looked like? Was it a normal Skype or was it an ethereal image? You know,
no, it wasn't a picture. There was obviously no picture there. You know, it was just words associated with it.
You mean voice.
It was voice. It was breaking up and then we would come back, you know, and he said that that the first time was very lengthy. The second time it took place, but it was like much, much shorter, like a couple of minutes. And then afterwards, it was like maybe 5 or 10 seconds, you know, like she was still trying to communicate, you know, her spirit. And so that's just another example of other people that I know of. I forgot who it was. Dr. Gary Schwartz, I forgot who it was, told me a story. But this is a very prominent person that all of a sudden someone that they knew died. Jeffrey Mishloff told me a story. Okay. That was one of them, but there was another story of someone actually talking to a dead person. Okay. And they were having a conversation with a dead person over the phone. But these things are very common, but what it is people just don't talk about it. You know, these post-death communications. But these things are absolutely fascinating. And Raymond Moody has written about them, some of the other of the NDE researchers. And there is a book I have here of this husband and wife team that is quite a thick book. It's like 450 pages of after death communications. We really don't have any full understanding of trying to understand the nature of just how complex all of these phenomena are, which is now starting to get a glimpse and understanding. I certainly, you know, I'm totally clueless as to the vast complexities of these phenomena. What I'm trying to do is to couch this in some, you know, larger, you know, framework here. But again, it deals with all of the contact modalities. It's not just the UFO stuff, you know. It's all interrelated. But thank you for sharing that, Aspen. Oh, someone says Yanko.
Well, you have some comments here, but Ian's been waiting a long time, and then we have okay. Mike, our assistant organizer. So do you want? Can Ian go next? Ray, do you need a break, a drink, or something?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
You're amazing. I've had two breaks already.
I've had COVID for the last 2 weeks, and I'm finally tested positive, but I still don't feel well. But this is my lifeblood, you know, these types of discussions.
Well, we want you back many times. I could just interject, like, we can plan a series of talks. I had in mind, you know, because I'm really aligned with CCRI. Do you think you'll come back to us, Ray? Well,
of course.
Very good. Well, I'll be emailing you. We'll set up another talk.
I know there's a gentleman there on the left, on my left, that I see his hand up.
Ian, yeah. Go ahead, Ian.
But yeah, don't die before you come back. I mean, don't come back as a dead person. Come back as a live person.
Most definitely.
Yeah, hi, Ray. Nice to meet you. I really loved your presentation. I'll just start off by saying that your role, like in academia, you know, in the science, groups, that role is extremely important to help humans, you know, transition our consciousness or awareness into, you know, that complexity that we're talking about with reality, right? There's so many layers, like you mentioned and whatnot. I was the same as you. I was like always atheist. I knew from a young age that those stories and stuff were just not the reality. I've had several near-death experiences, and I've had direct contact and indirect in several of those modalities that you mentioned. And I think what's really important is moving away from fear-based decision-making and moving towards love-based decision-making. And that has to be an integral part of our belief system if we want to you know, grow and expand and transition. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've reached these two important terms. The opposite of love is fear. Okay. And Mary Rodwell always states, in the beginning, I did not understand it, because when I first met Mary Rodwell, I was still going through these experiences. Okay. I wasn't mature enough to understand what Edgar Mitchell was telling me, what Dr. Rudy Shields was telling me, what Mary Rodwell, Barbara Lamb, and Kathleen Martin. But more than anything, you know, Mary Rodwell, she was far advanced than all these other people. But she would always tell me, and said, Ray, once you're able to overcome fear, then that allows love to come in. And love is what makes these experiencers that have been frightened to death from their experiences, that allows them to be able to understand, you know, the purpose, the nature of their experiences. So she used those two terms like you used it. And now I fully know that, you know, the whole dichotomy of it, that fear is given to us in some of these experiences, and it's being used to stimulate an awareness of the nature of our reality. It's like a stimulus. We've heard of this name, the trickster, you know, when we're dealing with this intelligence, you know, like in Santeria, they use the name Elegua, and Elegua is known as the trickster. And Elegua is known as the intelligence that, in Spanish, they say, abre los caminos. It opens the pathways, you know, for future journeys. So before you can take these other journeys, you have to pass Elegua. You have to give homage to Elegua, you know, and Elegua is known as the trickster. So what it is that this fear-based aspect, this tricksterism aspect of it, stimulates, again, later on, these higher journeys. So in terms of some of the other comments that you have mentioned, there was an Air Force co-pilot. He was from the Navy. His name is Tony Woody. He described to me, and he's a near-death experiencer, of an experience where he was the engineer. He was not really flying this old propeller plane. And all of a sudden, not only one of the propellers, but two of them blew up, and it was all in flame. And they said, oh, God, we're going to crash. It's all full of fuel. You know, we've got no place to land it except for this old runway that no one hasn't used like in 20 years, you know. And so they got permission to go on that runway, and then they were getting to it, and all of a sudden time slowed down. He starts seeing these Pepsi-Cola cans slowly go like right by him, you know, and then all of a sudden he floats out of his body. So he's outside the plane, looking at the plane, like right next to it. And these things that the plane is picking up from the debris is flying all through the air, but in slow motion, you know. And he says that lasted like forever. And all of a sudden, you know, once the plane gets landed, then he goes back into his body, and he was like petrified by that. And it was that same day that he was in his room that his room opens up, a portal opens up, and this energy being comes out, okay, that he identified as God and started having telepathic communication with him. So he was this experience that one can categorize it as near-death experience, but more than anything, it was like an out-of-body experience, which then resulted into the stimulus of this portal opening up in his room and this energy being appeared to him. So it's like very similar concepts that what you're discussing of time distortion. In terms of me going out of my body at 8:30 in the morning, as I said before, I was listening to a public radio station of this interview of this man doing a documentary on his liposuction. He was talking about using the fat from his liposuction as art fat. And so I found that absolutely fascinating, you know? And so I'm listening to this interview, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm not in the car anymore. I'm not in the middle of a traffic jam. I'm like pure darkness. I'm pure consciousness. And then things started to appear, and I see that I'm inside this huge, gigantic wheel. I'm inside the fulcrum of it, you know? And I didn't tell you the full details of it because it would take a half hour to discuss it with it. But basically, what my lecture was that, was that experience. So it's not like I was taught these things by someone, you know, a physical person. No, I was shown these things by some higher intelligence. And then when I was returned, all of a sudden it said, you need to find individuals that are going to help you. This is not about making money. And the individuals that are going to help you have to be individuals with minimal ego. So when it said minimal ego, boom, I'm back in the car and I'm like freaking out, you know, like hyperventilating, you know, and the guy's still talking about his documentary with Arfat, you know, it's like not 1 second has passed, you know, but to me it was at least a half an hour had passed. So again, the concept of time, you know, that it just, and what did Einstein say about time? You know, doesn't it exist? All the physicists, they know that time doesn't. Time and space do not exist. It's a construct, you know? So, but again, it's hard for us as physical beings to be able to understand the concept of space and the concept of time. We just can't deal with it, you know? And that's why we have a hard concept when we see these physical beings in front of us. We assume that they are physical beings coming from another physical planet, you know? And but yet in reality, once, you know, if you listen to my presentation and all of the individuals that that I've been working with, you'll understand that these are consciousness-based experiences. And the UFO aspect of it is just one small component out of all the totality of it. So I don't know if I addressed some of the issues.
Everything you're saying is spot on. I wanted to touch on something that Shecky mentioned earlier. Well, if there is a God, why are we having wars and stuff? Well, what I understand about God, or, you know, the God's energy, is that it's not all just positive energy. You know, there exists a balance of positive and negative energy. You know, there's two polarization between these energies and everything in between. So even though we do experience negative energy, it plays an important role in our universe, because they're equal and opposite.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Why did God set it up that way? I find that very strange. I heard you. Intellectually, I accept it, but...
Well, let me give you information of what I was told while I was in this other realm. And I'm not the only one that's been told these things, okay? And what's been told is that we're here to experience, okay? The good, bad, and the ugly. Human suffering, you know, Alzheimer's, cancer, the full works. We're here to experience the full realm of life and then to return back that information. And what I was told of this concept in the form of entropy, okay, of balancing out. In the beginning, I had no idea what the hell they were talking about, you know. But then I started interacting with a being who is, I'll leave it at that, because I really would like to talk about this intelligence. But it's basically, a being that's very, very physical, but that would be discussing these mind-blowing topics. And most of my battles have been trying to dismiss this person. But at the end, it's when I finally acknowledge this person that all of my experiences stopped. Okay, that's another story in and of itself. Okay, but anyway, he told me the same exact thing about entropy, about yin and yang and polar opposites, that you need these polarizations to induce, okay, to induce these experiences, because if everything was just good, then you wouldn't know what was negative.
Exactly.
If everything was just pleasure, then you wouldn't know what it is to have Alzheimer's or to have cancer. You know, is that you need...
But those words, there are no negativities. It's all good.
Well, these are all experiences. I wouldn't, you know, use the term, you know, good. These are all experiences to have as humans. And then we return those experiences. The issue is that when we are given a life review, what we're actually judged is we are judged on our free will, our ability to make choices.
Okay? No.
Okay, well.
There is no free will.
Well, no, the Buddha would say the same thing. Like your karma rebirth is a worldview of Buddhism. Everything matters about your intentional free will actions, good and bad.
But you said it's all scripted. You said it's all planned.
Not according to Buddhism. Don't you believe in karma checking?
Let me.
Go ahead, Ray. We're still having a conversation.
Go ahead, Ray.
Me and Ray are still.
Okay, I'm chairing the meeting. I apologize. Ray, you have the floor, Ray.
Yeah, just on the discuss on this topic is that in my last section, I talk about reincarnation, because there's a lot of people that are told about reincarnation via the UFO contact experience, via the near-death experience, and the astral travel experience. They're shown this topic of reincarnation. And what they are informed is that we do have certain life objectives. So, yes, the way I see it is that you're in a play. Okay. And in your play, like in Romeo and Juliet, Juliet dies or something like that at the very end. But yet to get to that point, you have free will to make choices. Okay. Now, when you have a life review, and it's roughly one out of every four individuals that has a near death experience has a life review. And what you're reviewing is your choices. Okay. What choices you've made and whether you made wise choices or not. Okay. And then in this, so that's why I say we have free will in that sense. Okay. That section in our documentary, we showed two people who I consider two out of the three major contact experiencers that I have ever met. Okay. One was this medical doctor. She was this heavy set white woman who we pictured in the lake. She's had everything in the kitchen sink. And she just recently retired this year. The other one was this elderly woman who was showing us the graveyard of one of the dead beings, this child that she has been communicating with and seeing, Katie. And then the other one was my best friend who lived in Miami. And it's no coincidence that he became my best friend. He is a retired DEA federal agent. His wife is a PhD psychologist, and their daughter's a PhD psychologist. All of them have had paranormal experiences, but this man is like up there with these other two ladies. Let me explain one of the experiences that he had, okay? And it's just like nonstop. Like, for example, the wife corroborated so many of these experiences. Like the wife, who again is a PhD psychologist for over 45 years, she said there was a period there where he'd be vibrating at night and he'd be floating off of his bed. We'll say, how do you know he was floating? Well, I put my hand underneath him and he was floating. You know? And so, and they both of them have seen, you know, tons of UFOs, tons of intelligence that they've seen, tons of experiences, but it all centers around my friend Alberto. And I write about three pages of his experiences in my book, The Mind of God. But one of the experiences dealt with this issue of like freezing time.
Revolution Radio, Freedom,
and that was, he was about 15 years old. He was jumping off a bridge in Havana, and that bridge was in a river that led right into the ocean. So all the water from the river, you know, went right
into
the ocean. And so the kids would swim, and they would go back to the shore.
Join me, Ivy West,
and they would go back to the bridge and jump off again.
Saturday,
these are, you know, teenagers.
I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressive science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
Didn't know that you don't swim against the riptide, you know? And so he was like,
won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays?
And all of a sudden, he just,
for Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
You know, on that wall there, didn't have any energy. And he just like let go, you know? And all of a sudden, he went down, okay? And then all of a sudden, he said he started thinking of his mother. His mother died giving childbirth.
Because
okay?
Your head's in the sand.
Never
tail is a target.
An illegitimate child. Okay? So at that point, he was thinking of his mother.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station.
Oh, my God. You know, mom.
Please help
you
support the station
die,
so this
die,
dial can continue
forward. Whatever. All of
Revolution Radio!
And there's like four or five stories I've heard, very similar to what I'm going to tell you. A hand was underneath him
raised it all the way from the bottom.
There have been imaginative so he was science like above fiction the water, writers for generations.
And he was like looking out, and he could see the water beneath it.
That doesn't mean they're telling
the
truth,
as opposed
to fiction.
And the next thing he knew,
now, you know, I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large,
which is
that we indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the middle of their sand, and also after
like
that,
palm trees
when the sons of God came and unto the daughters
so
of man, indicating that there were giants before in the
six lanes.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah, shut up.
And he was still
I'm
all wet.
Crawford. Join me every Thursday night and Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern. For Back to Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests of great stories.
Totally
what do you believe?
Okay. So here is a friend that had this experience that was
join
outside
me in the
of space
Brian
time.
Show on
that was actually
Radio,
Eastern
Standard
saved
time
his life.
Every Tuesday
okay.
night from
and
6 to 8. We talked about
did
the
things
four
to
most
him
vital
just
things in my view
explain,
affect all of humanity.
You know? And
number one is
he also
UFOs
had
and aliens.
Medical healings.
Agenda for the advancement
okay?
of humanity.
Let me explain those
number
two medical healings.
The Jewish establishment's control
and
over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Otto Hitler,
and there
who's
are
opposite
in
of what we've been told. Number
this
four,
man
advanced ancient
is a retired
global
DEA
civilizations. Join me on the
he
Brian Roux Show, Tuesday nights from
Panama,
6 to 8,
Manuel Noriega,
be on Revolution
importing
Radio.
Coke into the United States. And for the dictator of Haiti, baby Doc Duvalier. And he wrote a book titled Capture.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio
so this guy's
at FreedomSlips.com.
You know,
any commercial advertising you may hear on this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation or on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk. Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Part of his eye socket, and he's attached the cornea. Had a trip the very
the opinions
day,
expressed on this radio station, its
Alaska,
programs, and its website by
those,
the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed
so
them.
Said,
they do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100%
listeners
of
the
radio, and now we return
to you. He was seen by a doctor, and the doctor examined him. He says, your whole cornea is torn out. And you really need to take a helicopter to fly back, you know. And like on the second day, they do fly back because it was like really, really bad, you know. And so when he gets back, he goes to an ophthalmologist. And the night before, he all of a sudden is in bed. He's not asleep. And all of a sudden, he can't move. He's like people have paralysis, you know. He has this paralysis, and one eye is open, and he has this bright light right on it, and he hears a noise, right? And then that lasted like less than 30 seconds, okay? And he was knocked out, okay? Then when he wakes up, he has perfect vision. The next day, he goes to the ophthalmologist. The ophthalmologist says, did you ever have any eye surgery done recently? He says, no. He says, because there's two triangles embedded in your eye. And he says, well, do I have a detached retina? I said, no, your retina is fine. And he checked his vision, 20/20 vision on both eyes. Okay. So that was one healing. Another healing was he had gone to a doctor. He had complained about breathing problems. Okay. The doctor ordered with a pulmonologist to get x-rays, right? They saw the x-ray right there, and it was a big mass right in his x-ray. So immediately he says, go to the emergency room because they need to do a whole bunch of follow-up exams on you, right? And we're going to send over electronically that MRI stuff, you know, that we took. Okay. So then he's getting dressed, right? And in the dressing room, his wife is outside. All of a sudden, he feels all this light all around him and all the presence. And he goes, Rebecca, Rebecca, that's the name of his wife. He says, they're ready to pull me. They're getting to pull me. They're going to pull me. Like, you know, people have an abduction, you know, their consciousness gets pulled, you know. He says, they're here. They're here. They're going to pull me. And so his wife, like, came in and she saw all this light around and all the light dissipated. And then he told his wife, he says, I was healed. I don't have that breathing problem anymore. He says, I was healed. So finally, he gets dressed. The doctor calls him in. And the doctor pulls up that imaging. And the doctor was pissed off. He goes, that stupid doctor, you know, sent you here with the wrong imaging, the wrong scan. Because there's nothing here. You're totally fine, you know. And so those are just, you know, a couple of examples. But we've also had examples of people that have had stage 4 cancer throughout their entire body. And all of a sudden, this orb appeared to them that went into their body. And then the next day, zero cancer. Just like Anita Morjani, and then you probably heard about her with near-death experiences. Have you heard of the story of Anita Morjani? Okay. She had a near-death experience. You could look her up, okay? Stage 4 cancer. She went into a coma, okay? In her coma, she was told, look, you're going to be fully healed. Tell the doctor you don't need any more chemotherapy, any more drugs. You're fully healed, right? So when she comes back from her coma, everyone still thinks that she's going to die, you know, because she was like away for 3 days. So her doctor comes and, no, don't give me any more chemotherapy, whatever. No, we're not going to give any more to you because you only got a few days to live, a few hours, you know. It's not going to help. The woman in 2 weeks was walking out of the hospital with zero cancer.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So these stories abound in near-death experience. You just have to look for it because they're not topics that you research and you learn about. Okay. But they're out there, you know, more than 100 of them, just like the UFO healings that we talked about. They're not discussed in ufology, but yet we documented in our book, okay, that they're very, very real. And again, just, as an aside of comparison, okay, to talk about what you're talking about, besides the Tony Woody experience, right? They were people that were pinned under a truck. They were working under a truck or a car. And all of a sudden, that brace that they used to hold it, like, fell down, and they were pinned, okay? And they said, I'm going to be fully crushed. I'm going to get out of here. And all of a sudden, they saw a human-looking being come in there, goes out, like, with one hand, with the other hand, pushes them out, okay? And then lowered it down, right? Totally saves the person. You literally have, on the internet, thousands of similar types of stories like that. But what it is that they're not fully documented. They're not fully researched. They're not put together, you know, in terms of healing stories by angels or whatever, you know. So you're not alone, brother. You know, these stories.
Oh, for sure. That, like, Dr. Yeah. J. Allen Hynek, like, with Project Blue Book, same kind of thing, compiling all those, like, experiences.
Yeah.
Like all those, like, you know, thousands and thousands of people are not wrong. You know, like, they're not, they're sharing, like, real experiences that they've had. And I think there's probably, like, millions and millions of people out there that have yet to come forward that have had similar experience. And so we're kind of getting into that, like, you know, time of, like, disclosure, if you will, or a realization that, you know, there's a lot more going on to our reality than what we can perceive, you know. And I really appreciate people like yourselves who are in the deeply entrenched in the scientific academia, who are, you know, helping people transition their consciousness or awareness from that very simplistic idea of, you know, 3D reality, and, you know, bridging that, you know, that awareness to that complexity of what reality really is. And so
Yeah,
thank you for that work. That's so important.
I think we're just at the very beginning of trying to understand that this is a new paradigm. And just there was a book I read when I was in college in 1975 titled The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. And that was the first time I was introduced to the term a new paradigm. And that explains of how science has changed throughout the ages. Like, for example, for the revolution of quantum mechanics, in the beginning, it was totally dismissed for many, many, many years.
Right.
Einstein called it spooky action at a distance, you know. And it wasn't until the late 50s that they actually began to prove quantum physics, you know, a Bell's theorem, you know, for example, what was actually demonstrated in laboratories. And so and now quantum physics is the groundwork, the foundation to all of modern electrical engineering, you know. And but yet even before the Enlightenment, you know, you got into the ancient medieval times where the church controlled all lines of thinking. You know, it took many, many years. And it's usually when the old theologians, the old paradigm setters died off, when the dinosaurs died, you know. When the dinosaurs died, then the new folks that are talking about these new things, then these new things are brought out in the open. Then it becomes the new paradigm, okay? So that book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, which was written in 1962, you know, for the first time educated me about how theories of science, theories of new paradigms get developed. So in terms of what we're talking about now, we're just at the very beginning of this new paradigm of viewing
reality. Exactly. I have to go because I have an appointment very soon, so I have to go get ready for that. But thank you so much, Ray.
You're very welcome.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I really appreciate the information that you provided today. And keep doing the great work. Yeah.
And don't forget to send me an email. Start with the mind of God, because that lays the theoretical construct of what we're talking about. And these are not easy topics, you know, to talk about reincarnation, that UFOs are very similar to NDEs. These are topics that people just don't. And don't forget to send me an email, you know.
Okay, folks. So I think I slipped up there. Did I slip up there at the break? Yeah, sorry about that, but Michelle will continue on. So that was part 4 of 5. So now I'll play the last part 5 of 5, which is Ray Hernandez, Director of Plants, ongoing series of videos, part 5 of 5. Okay, here we go.
The videos, you've got like 10 PhDs here in Consciousness and Contact Research Institute. Like, you could come on with another guest.
The last.
Or we could pick different
part 5
themes.
Of like, 5,
we
which
have
is
so right. much published material. Two books are yet to be published. Two books are published. I'm thinking we should discuss kind of a systematic way. How would we present Conscious Contact? Like, say, think of the video arm of your organization.
Conscious Contact Research Institute. Like, you could come on with another guest
to do that for you, for the organization. You know, the video arm. Because you got all the, I guess my idea is getting the word out there, public outreach, you know?
Yeah, you could certainly do individuals at a time. Dr. John Klimo had a stroke. Previous to that, he had brain surgery.
Oh.
So he's really not responsive. Oh. But you could certainly have Dr. Jeffrey Long that talks about near-death research and the topic of consciousness being, you know, fundamental, primary, and a little bit about the connection between that and all of the other contact modalities. You could also have Dr. Michael Grosso, who coined the term, you know, the universal mind, or the mind at large. He coined the term the mind at large. I was first exposed to it back in 1992. But these are topics that have been discussed for thousands of years. Goes all the way back to the Upanishads, you know, in ancient India, okay? And so he could talk about everything that I spoke about. And Rudy Shield, the professor from Harvard, can talk about,
you know, his theories as well. And he has numerous different theories.
Yeah, I know Rudy Scheel from Susie Hansen. He wrote parts of this book, you know, the dual soul connection, right?
Yeah.
This has actually been the biggest influence on me in the last 2.5 years, this book. So, like, I'm a huge fan of Susie Hansen. She's like my number one in the world. So I'd love to have Rudy Scheel. Well, what's kind of a systematic way of going about this? Do you think maybe you should meditate on this and think of a list of guests and email me and I would systematically book them in the meetup?
Yeah, I can send me an email reminder and I'll send that to you.
Yeah, I've got your phone number as well, or maybe we could just talk about the details another time. But you have a huge body of information and it's two more books to come, right?
The two books are the experiencer books. These are the books from major contact experiencers. And certainly these people will be a treasure trove to try to to interview them as well.
Yeah. Like we could do people in like weekly or every 2 weeks, or like we could actually do a weekly series, you know, like we've booked we got Mary Rodwell coming up. Of course, I got her book here. She's coming up in February. I've been interviewing her since 2018.
Part of this. Mary of the experience of how we met.
Yeah. Yeah. I read a bit about that. Yeah. Your first 50 hours, right? Mary Rodwell, Dr. Edgar Mitchell.
Yeah. It's like an email that I had sent her back in October was held up in cyberspace for 6 months. Okay. I mean, I tell that story to others and it's like, you know, get out of here, you know, but talk to Mary and she'll tell you.
Well, she's very sweet and I've learned so much from her. You know, she does like interviewing 3,000 children, their experiences. So she's very valuable. But yeah, for your Constant Contact Research Institute, there's so many people. We could do something like right now we're booked Saturdays into February, but we could book Sundays, same time, 11 a.m. our time, 2 p.m. your time. Because, you know.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll send you introductions to different people. And then it's up to them whether they want to do the interview or not, you know.
That's what I had in mind. If you could introduce them rather than, hey, I'm a total stranger, Brian Roo in Vancouver. Could you come on to our meetup? It would, coming from you would be of central influence. You're called the center of influence.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, my book here is not associated with any one particular theory, you know. Like Susie Hansen's theory that you talked about here, you know, it's really what it's based upon is this grander, you know, detailed vision of the relationship between consciousness and the contact modalities. And I think that's the uniqueness of the work that I'm doing. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And I'm very influenced by Grant Cameron here in Canada. I spent time with him. He used to be nuts and bolts. He says, UFOs is about consciousness. It's about the experiences. It's about consciousness. So I guess you would harmonize with that, right? The idea that it's about consciousness.
Well, you could throw out the term consciousness and have, you know, no idea what the hell you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? What I'm talking about is what I just presented in my presentation. It's an academic, you know, viewpoint of the nature of our reality. You know, so that's my structure, because there's also a metaphysical component, you know, of what is consciousness. There's a religious component. I wouldn't say religious, but more in terms of the traditional approaches of consciousness from, you know, Buddhism, Taoism, you know, the Vedic tradition, you know, that sort of thing. So what I talked about in my book is how do we mesh it all together under a scientific rubric that also discusses the experiencers of the contact modalities. Because what I presented in my book is what the experiencers were saying, you know, not what the quantum physicists were saying, you know. No, is that what the quantum physicists are saying does not contradict what the experiencers are saying, you know. So what I recommend is, I think I sent you the book, The Mind of God. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm ordering the Greater Reality. I'm ordering that, the actual paper one.
Yeah, yeah. So what I
you sent them all to me. That's great. The PDFs. Thank you.
Yeah, the PDFs. So what I recommend is that book, The Mind of God, should become, like, to me, like your Bible.
Well, let's do it. I mean, let's do more on your. Do you want to book a meeting just on the mind of God sometime?
Sure, we could do that. Just give me some time. Give me a month or so. You know,
mid-February. I'm all set to go. Ready to book you every week. Did you want to say something, Aspen? You there?
I just wanted to say, we would love to incorporate Ray's book into the book club, Deconvoluting the Universe.
Yeah, we have a channeling group, Aspen and I, with there's seven of us in total, a channeling group with another fellow, Eric Hussmans. We've already got videos released with him. We're thinking, Ray, are you interested in joining us?
What does it entail?
Well, Aspen knows more about it. You want to describe it, Aspen?
Well, what I really wanted to do is ask if we can feature the mind of God in our book club first. And then perhaps at a later date, we can tell Ray about the channeling circle, if that's all right. Because definitely your book is definitely going to be a touchstone for a lot of people, I think, we can discuss it.
I can only talk about me personally, okay, from my perspective, okay? I think that book, The Mind of God, is the most important book you will ever read, and anyone here that participated here. Because what it does, it presents the theoretical construct of what I talked about today, which is putting all the pieces together. Not that I have all the answers, that we have all the answers. All it is just, as I said before, putting a construct out there. And the construct is based upon all of the academic literature on the contact modalities, all of the academic literature that has been talked about, the fields of consciousness being primary, and mixing that in with this other concept, which is not accepted at all, that all of the contact modalities are one integrated phenomenon. We assume that we understand, that we agree with that, but 99.99999% of researchers in all of these fields do not understand that.
Would you say parapsychologists, rather than getting astronomers, like why hire astronomers for this phenomenon? Parapsychologists, right?
Let me give you a background of how I got into this to begin with, okay? Because I did not talk about that, okay? Here was an individual that was a frustrated academic, because I was never able to finish my PhD at Berkeley because my ex-wife got a brain aneurysm. I was off at Chet, you're familiar with the New School for Social Research? Okay. I was teaching there at the New School, okay, as a research associate as well, and teaching graduate courses with the understanding that once I finished my PhD, that they would have a tenure track position available for me. But coming from Berkeley, which is the top planning school in the country, I could have gone anywhere I wanted to, okay? But what happened was once I got there, my ex-wife got a brain aneurysm, and she became like a vegetable. And so I had two little children. Her mother was a factory worker. Her social security is like $250, a month. Her sister was still in high school. So I basically had to quit that job and take two full-time jobs.
Oh, that's terrible. Gosh, that's hard.
And so I was always a frustrated academic, okay? And so when these experiences began, many years later, this is like 20 years later after these experiences, naturally, you begin to do what is called an academic literature review. What the hell has been written about these things from an academic perspective? And what I realized was like nothing, absolutely nothing. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. There's got to be something. Well, we've had the book of Dr. John Mack. Well, that's not really an academic literature review. What you had was someone that had 15 case studies of 15 personal experiences. And he wrote that up. And then you had all these hypnotic regression, excuse the French, bullshit that was circulating all throughout the field of ufology, and all the misinformation and disinformation that's circulating in the field of materialist ufology. There was really not much that was out there, And so what I did is that once the organization got started, the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation, These were now real academics. These were real researchers. And I began to ask all of them, I said, okay, I want to read the book that explains all of this. Doesn't it exist? Well, I want to read the article that explains all of this. Well, it doesn't it exist. I was hooked up with all of these people in the field of parapsychology, mainly through Edgar Mitchell and Dr. John Klimo, because that was one of their fields that they associated with. They hooked me up with Stanley Krippner, Russell Targ, Charles Tart, Dean Radin, you know, all of these legends of parapsychology. Well, do you believe that consciousness is primary? Yes. Yes, we believe that. Well, do you believe that all of the paranormal is somehow interrelated? Yes. Yes, we believe it. Okay. Give me the book. Doesn't it exist? Give me the article. It doesn't exist. I said, you got to be kidding me. Okay. You guys have been in this field for 40 years. Okay. Now, the closest thing was a Charles Tart book. What was that book that he wrote about non-local consciousness? I forgot the formal name of it. Okay. The End of Materialism. Okay. But that did not discuss all of the contact modalities being one phenomena. It's like it circled around all of these topics. Okay. But it never was a bullseye to any of these things. Right. So then, what we decided upon doing the first work on ufology was because if we were to compare apples to apples, oranges and oranges, we needed data on the UFO contact phenomenon. And there was none. Okay. So there was tons of stuff of NDEs. Charles Tart had done lots of studies on OBEs. In the 1950s, there were tons of studies on LSD, you know, and they were beginning to do DMT type of studies, but they were like, you know, thousands of peer reviewed publications. And now they're like, you know, tens of thousands of them on hallucinogens, you know, and, but still when it comes down to UFO outside of our study, there was nothing. Okay. So, but what we were able to do from that research study is we had so much data, like I made in my presentation, that you're able to make comparisons between the near-death phenomenon, the out-of-body phenomenon, the psychedelic phenomenon, et cetera, that these are all consciousness-based phenomena. So I was frustrated by all of these academics that were circling around the wagons, but there was never a direct hit that talked about these things. So that's why I began this book series, A Greater Reality. And if you send me an email, I will send you the table of contents and you'll see all of these discussions. It's 1600 pages that really hit the bullseye in terms of these two topics. Number one, that consciousness is primary. And number two, that all of the contact modalities are one integrated phenomenon under consciousness. And that's what makes my books unique, unlike anything else that's out there. Okay.
Well, we should do a series of videos. Like it could be the video that goes along with the books, right? I mean, it's part of getting the word out there. We should do a series.
Yeah, sure. We could talk about that book, The Mind of God, and then we could go into the different chapters of A Greater Reality. Because
do you see any of this being introduced to Congress now with the new enthusiasm for UFOs and all the efforts to get the NDAs released so whistleblowers can come forward? Okay, you know the enthusiasm there within the UFO community. I think it's misguided or overly optimistic, particularly in the context of the previous bullshit and disinformation, psychological warfare. But this information, because it's so much in our group, I think we agree it should predominate, but with Congress now stepping up, do you see that as a diversion or do you see any role?
Let me put it to you this way. This is sort of a circumvented way of addressing that question. Okay. Richard Dolan's book has sold more than 100 times what we sold in our book Beyond UFOs.
You mean this one, right?
Yes. That book has been around the world. He's been to every major UFO conference, but yet when it comes to Ray Hernandez speaking at these UFO conferences, you know, they don't have no idea who I am.
So Richard Dolan didn't shake your hand? He didn't shake your hand?
Hell no.
Was he surrounded by too many people, too many fans or what?
Oh, please. He's in his own little world.
Ray, I can help you.
Yeah.
You're...
I We got to talk. We have to talk. I can help.
Talk on video. Let's talk to the public on video. Go ahead, Jackie.
Not today, though. Not today.
To me, that's just an example of how the field of materialist ufology is approaching this phenomenon. They're totally dismissive of it.
I understand.
And many of the reasons is because we're dealing with a topic that they're totally alien to, and that is the topic of consciousness. Okay?
Yeah, but you have a new ally. We will talk.
Yeah, when you're talking about you,
I'm sending you an email. I started writing it because I thought the meeting ended. But anyway, long story short, as I started writing it, I look forward to seeing you in Rice in Houston in May.
Yes, I will be there.
But prior to that, we have to have I invite you to read some of the things I'm sending you.
Okay.
I go in. And I have taken on all the people in the UFO community. Basically, I have outed them as not necessarily phonies, but insufficiently thorough to be kind in
I'm very blunt.
I am too.
They're misinformation and disinformation agents.
Well, you'll see what I'm saying.
Some of them unwillingly.
Well, do you know anything about Avi Loeb?
Well, Rudy Shield worked with him for 9 years.
But this guy, do you know his background?
I don't know about his background. Okay.
Israeli intelligence.
Okay. Well,
hello.
What I do know is that Rudy approached him and numerous other individuals at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics to talk about these consciousness-based aspects of it. And talk about Edgar Mitchell. It was like, no, he wanted to study this asteroid that was out there. And to his book on that asteroid has sold like 1,000 times more than our book. And to me, it's just an illustration of just how fucked up this field of ufology is.
And to me, it's an illustration where Brian and I disagree that technological totalitarianism has triumphed in the present tense. Brian doesn't think that that's true. I think it's true. Anyway, listen, we'll talk another time. I got to go because I'm in a public place and I'm making them.
Yeah, and I got to get something to eat and some water.
But you're fabulous. Keep up the great work. I'm sending you an email.
It's radical stuff. I mean,
no, but that's wonderful.
Very few can actually understand it, you know, because it's so paradigm changing.
And we got to talk about the role of the Vatican Church and Danny Sheehan. Okay, and everything else. Everybody, Happy New Year. Ray, namaste, Ray. Bye-bye.
I'm just a normal person trying to get answers. That's all I am.
Me too.
And I've been working with this team of a large group of academics and medical doctors from a lot of diverse fields. And so we're all in this together. No one's alone here.
Yeah, I mean, I think of myself as a student, I don't say Brian Rue has the answer, but you know, we have some hypotheses, and I think the direction I want to go is conscious. I know if you want to get a glass of water, get a glass.
I need to get going, but what I would highly recommend is for you to read that book, The Mind of God.
For my birthday present today, I'm getting The Greater Reality. Should I get The Mind of God first?
Well,
I'll get them both. I'll get them both. He sent me the PDF.
The Mind of God is actually the introductory chapter to Volume 1. So it'll be there.
Okay.
And then the UFO stuff is on Volume 2. So you can get Volume 1 and Volume 2.
What's the name of Volume 2?
It's the same thing. It's
Mind of God.
Greater Reality, Volume 2.
See, I was confused. I thought the name was The Greater Reality.
That is the name the of all these four volumes, A Greater Reality.
Well, so what's The Mind of God? Is that Volume 2?
The Mind of God I published as a separate book, but it actually is the introductory chapter towards for the whole book series.
Okay.
Because it came out to 200 pages. So I said I might as well publish it because a lot of people are not going to read these four.
This is 800 pages. I've read significant portions of this.
But that has nothing to do with what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
That's just on the UFO stuff. Okay?
So just for the audience, this video is for the audience. You're saying one book is called The Mind of God. One book is called The Greater Reality.
The Greater Reality is actually four books.
And two have yet to be published, right?
Two, volumes three and four are the experiencer chapters. The ones that have been published are the theoretical chapters. Now, the mind of God is the introductory chapter to volume one of the theoretical chapters. But because a lot of people are not going to read these four volumes, they want something short and sweet. So that's why I published this separate book titled The Mind of God, which is a separate book, but it lays out the whole theoretical construct of the four volumes of A Greater Reality.
Okay, so I'll read The Mind of God. I'll get on it then.
Yeah, that is the most important piece here, because it lays out the whole theory behind it all. It like my lecture that I presented, the book presents it in a much more elaborative way.
Very good. Well, we've been at this for 4 hours and 10 minutes, but I just want to do a share screen with you here. This is what I was reading before about Richard Dolan. Just in his defense, he is a bit open to things, and he's a bit open. So this is his email to me. He said, "It's true that I haven't looked at Mary Rodwell's or Susie Hansen's research lately. This is several months ago, but I'm not averse to doing so. I have, however, read the free study, which includes work, I think, by both of them. Plus, I love and adore Barbara Lamb and have read all of her books.
She was not a creator of the research. The research was done by our academics. So he knows, he does not know any of these people. He does not know any of the academics that developed the research study. He does not know Rudy Shield, okay? He did not know Dr. John Klimo, okay? Dr. Bob Davis, professor of neuroscience. These are the people that developed the research methodology. And he never discusses his critiques of the research methodology. Never. He has never discussed that. Okay.
See, so, this is what we need to be talking about this meeting.
I don't need to debate him.
No, but we're not debating him. But this is, well, I think we need to talk about it, because in terms of the larger, Mary Rodwell, I asked you how you felt about the UFO community. She says, Ray doesn't even call it a community. It's so fictitious. And I thought, yeah, I know that. Yeah, Corey Good. Let's follow Corey Good. You know, it's so fictitious. But I'm trying to work on, I have Richard Dolan's ear. I'm trying to work on him. So I'm just going to show him. So yeah, just to finish
for him to accept what I'm doing, because he's not going to be able to accept it. Because
I think I can work on him.
He's like, totally dismissive.
He's not. Like he said, I've read all of his books, and he said, as well as those by Vaughn, Kathleen Marden, Denise, and others still living.
And he says, whether I agree or not with their conclusions. No, it's not our conclusion. It's what the data reveals.
Yeah.
Okay. And the data is totally contradicts what he says. Okay? Totally contradiction.
Well, you have a good point.
He is not a researcher. Is he a researcher?
Well, he's a historian.
Well, whatever he is, he's not a researcher of the UFO contact phenomenon. And he's certainly not a statistical researcher. So he knows zippo. He knows shit about this. Okay? But yet our research study, okay, was developed by PhD academics with the assistance of people like Leo Sprinkle, Mary Rodwell, Kathleen Martin, Barbara Lamb, with the assistance of it, okay? That is real academic research. And that was not for 50 people. This was 4,350 people. And what it reveals was the total antithesis of what Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, and this guy Richard Dolan have spoken about. Okay, now
is your chance, and you'll have more chances to comment on this.
I don't have a chance to. I'm not here to debate Richard Dolan. Okay.
Oh no, he's just one person. But I think in the big picture, though, like the nature of knowledge, like no one can, Richard Dolan can't know everything. No one can know everything, right? So the idea we're connecting the dots, we each contribute what we can. So part of my job is to connect dots, you know. So I'm not defending Richard Dolan.
What I recommend for you is to first read, okay, The Mind of God, and also read the very first chapter from our book, Beyond UFOs. Okay?
Okay.
And if you read that first chapter, if that's too much for you, that's 100 pages. There's also
I can do that.
Okay. There's also a 7-page abstract, okay, which is a summary of it. Okay. So, you know, if you can read the chapter one of Beyond UFOs.
And remember, you're talking to the audience. This video is going to go out to thousands of people. We want them to read it, too.
And then you read The Mind of God.
So we should have the links below this video, right? We can put links. The links you gave me to put below this video.
Yeah. That what I presented, the vast majority of my presentation today was on Beyond UFOs, what the research study says, okay? In terms of the next component of it, the greater reality, I didn't really go into the details of that, okay? And so we could have a second discussion just on that, okay? But in terms of the UFO phenomenon, we're the only game in town.
That's why I was saying to Mary Rodwell, I've waited 2 years to invite you because you're almost I wasn't worthy to invite you. I had to have a good meetup group first. I mean, I had to be worthy just to invite you. I waited 2 years because it was so important, consciousness, because I realized this is a big game in town.
It's the only game in town.
Yes.
It's the real thing. And Mary Rodwell fully understands that. She's in full agreement with it. And then not only her, but also, you know, some of these other individuals that have come around. You know, like Kathleen Martin initially did not see the same way. Whitley Strieber initially did not see the same way. Okay. But then after many, many, many years, now they realize that consciousness is fundamental and they realize the spirituality of these experiences. But again, that only is many, many years later, just like most of the major contact experiences.
Yeah, you said at your beginning of your talk, I wrote this down, consciousness is the fabric of reality. I've never heard that before, and it rang true immediately, you know?
Well, that's what I was told.
Mary Rodwell has been a big connection between you and me. I've gotten to know her well since 2018. So I'm just this is just an unexpected success, a dazzling success, because, you know, you and I have been emailing. You're kind of business-like. Okay, here's the time. Send me the Zoom link. We never had a conversation before. Now I feel like I know you. So this has been a dazzling success in 4 hours, and it's actually over the top.
The ideas are mind-blowing, okay? That's why I said if someone really is interested in trying to understand the complexities of this phenomenon, they need to read The Mind of God. And I'm making it available for free. For free. I repeated that over and over again. The 820-page book, Beyond UFOs.
But you mean a PDF. You don't mean a physical book, right?
No, I'm not going to go out and mail everybody a copy of
it. No, the PDF. The PDF.
Yeah, PDF.
Go ahead, Aspen,
Yeah,
it's PDF, and I'm making it for free. Richard Dolan doesn't do that. He doesn't give his books available for free. But yet, Beyond UFOs, 820 pages of real academic research, that's free. I'm giving it away. The Mind of God, which lays out the theoretical foundation for this new paradigm, I'm giving it away for free. All people need to do is just to send me an email. All right, I got to go now.
Okay, you're the man, Ray. We want to thank you. Let's all open our eyes and give a clap. Thank you, Ray. We'll be in touch. We'll book you. As soon as you want to be back, you'll be back, man. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Ray of light.
Thank you so much.
Just excellent, Ray. Thanks a lot. See ya.
Bye-bye.
4 hours and 15 minutes. We can have a post-talk video. The video is still going. This is our public video. Would you like to analyze what he said, Aspen? And no, he just left. It was just a dazzling success. 4 hours.
Phenomenal.
It was good.
And it's scientific, right? It's a scientific study. It's not just, oh, I had this experience, you know, I floated on my body or I was abducted by aliens, which is fine. But this is like 4,300 people.
Corroboration.
Yeah, they have questionnaires of 600 questions per person. A lot of work goes into this. It's a large-scale science, only one of its kind. So this is what I'm more into. In terms of my audience, I want to give people evidence, something that's scientific. So this is great.
I like the fact that the first two volumes of A Greater Reality are the data, and the second two volumes, a balanced number of volumes, are going to be on the experiencers. And I think that's the most important takeaway from that, is that he's acknowledging that and working on the basis that data is important. So it's left brain data that's important, and it's right brain experience that's important. And they have to be in balance and in harmony. Otherwise, you get a limited view and understanding of what's going on. It can't all be woo-woo, and it can't all be, you know, cold data. It just can't. So I thought it was fabulous. I'm so glad that I remembered the time difference between Vancouver and Texas.
Yeah, I sent you this link yesterday, didn't I, Aspen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came. Yeah. And like I think with the internet, I remember reading, but even before the internet, they're trying to, how do we deal with the information explosion? There's like whole brain learning and stuff. Like no one could possibly know everything. Richard Dolan is doing a good job as an historian. He knows so much, but you know, no one can know everything. So I'm trying to just connect the dots and get the best out of everyone. So Conscious Contact Research Institute, we got 10 PhDs. Let's get them all on the show. You know, let's get them all in the
meetup.
Absolutely.
Meet. Let's
Absolutely. Get them all on, you know.
Well, that's part of University Galacticus. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we've got to merge these ideas together. Yeah. Aspen, you and I should have a business meeting with Eric and the group and decide how we're going to, how can we combine that with the Conscious Contact Research Institute, right? We should talk.
I think there are a lot of ways to do that. I have some ideas that, especially if Ray deserves to get an energy exchange for his books. And the Institute deserves to get an energy exchange.
I was thinking kind of the merger of like Ray's more into not so much the physical ETs, the consciousness, and with your channeling and Eric's channeling is a similar thing. And then I'm also into the gray aliens and the physical ETs. So let's explore it all. And what, like a unified field theory, how does it all connect, you know?
It's a buffet.
Yeah, you could call it a buffet, yeah.
A buffet, and there's lots of yummy things to try.
He is very well connected. It's nice to hear him talk about his research and what he's done with other people. Yeah. A lot of people come on and they try to convince everyone of their own validity. And he, as you said already, has got a whole band of people behind him and studies.
But really... Brian, thank you so much. It so far exceeded any assumption or expectation I could possibly have. So,
yeah, good to have you involved and stick around on this theme. So I guess I should just say to the audience, like, subscribe, donate to Preparing for Alien Contact. More videos, comment. We always need volunteers, like volunteer video editors. This is a 4.5 hour video to end. It's too bad Mike had a question and he left, but he's done like 4 hours of video editing. Bub's here has done about 600 hours of thumbnails. So we're always looking for people to volunteer. And Yanko, he's still with us here. He's done a lot of video editing as well. So we're like running a little TV studio, a UFO TV studio here just for the audience. Cool. So this is inspiring. And this is my 63rd birthday. This is the end
Happy
of the year.
Birthday.
And tomorrow, I'm just looking at the year ahead. Like this is the end of the year. So today is like a new beginning in this direction. Tomorrow's January the 1st. 2023, so this is like a new beginning in a way.
Can we just make a small mention to look out for the book club that's coming up?
Yeah, go. You want to talk a bit more about it?
We think once Brian and I can coordinate the schedule, we're hoping to start it, I would say, the first week of February, sometime in that, if that works for the schedule, if not, according to the schedule. And the name of the book club is Deconvoluting the Universe. In reference to the Dolores Cannon books, The Convoluted Universe, but we won't limit it only to that. And I'm hoping that we can get Ray on there at some point to talk about his books. And we're just, awesome book. And the first book that we'll start with is Dolores Cannon's The Custodians, which talks directly about ET abduction and how her work is there to help people reframe what they see as traumatic or unremembered or inexplicable abduction or other kinds of events and bring out what's actually been happening to help them in their current life. This is her big focus is I'm not going to regress somebody just for the sake of me getting data. I'm going to regress someone to help them bring that out if it's going to improve their current life. So I think it'll be a really fantastic book club, and we'll be putting out an announcement after I get to coordinate that, all the logistics with Brian. So thank you.
But how would we relate that to the meetup group? Like we make videos and we have a meetup website. How would we relate it to that?
That's a good question. I think that if we have like if the book club is on Zoom, we tell people like at the beginning of January, I'm in a book club for another subject. And the way they do it is they say a month in advance, they say, hey, this is the book we're going to talk about. And they have a moderator who basically leads the discussion. But the moderator could say, this is the intention of this one is to explore, let's say, has anyone had a contact experience or does this help you remember or understand more about perhaps the idea of contact experiences if they've not.
But is this something you could have a meetup event, pick a day and you would chair it as a meetup for people to come and talk?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think we could do.
Yeah. Can you chair those meetings?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the idea. So it could be part of the preparing for ET contact. Today I actually changed the name to preparing to ET contact instead of preparing for alien contact.
Awesome. Oh, cool. Yeah, we can have it as like a branch of your normal meetup schedule. I think a lot of meetups do that. I'm in a death doula meetup and they have a topical meetup once a month and then they have a book club meetup once a month. So
yeah, well, what we should ask when we should appoint you as an assistant organizer like Bear is and Yanko is and Mike and others. You should be one of the assistant organizers. So like I don't have to lead every single meeting. The idea is to bring in other leaders, other chairs.
Whatever helps you, I'm happy to do.
Yeah, I mean the thing is you don't want me to personally lead every book meetup. I can't do everything.
Down for joining that kind of group meetup. Discussing books. I'm totally joining it.
Yeah, cool. Aspen, this is Yanko. He's part of our group of seven.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry. It's kind of crazy with my little guy around here.
Hi, little guy.
Yeah, like Aspen, just on Thursday, which was 2 days ago, Aspen and Eric and I were putting together a group of seven people, sort of a closed group. Yeah, Aspen can chair that. That's very good.
Okay, thank you. So what we'll do is we'll have a link for people who can't check these books out of their local library or maybe don't have budget at the moment to support the author by buying the physical copy. But we'll always say, if you value the book, at the very least, if you don't want or you can't afford to buy it yourself, make a recommendation to your local library so they buy the book. Because I've done that with the San Antonio Library where I've asked them and they've bought all the Dolores Cannon books, like multiple copies.
I never thought of that. It's such a brilliant idea. Asking your local library. That is so brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I do a lot of interlibrary loan. I get them from, Ohio. I've gotten them from Montana. I've got them from random places, books that I need to look at. Usually you go to the research desk, you know, the research librarian, or whoever's at not the front desk checking out the books, but the librarian who's helping people, a separate desk. And they have a database that they can access. once you apply for an interlibrary loan card, you can then go on this thing called, I'll try to find it. There's a specific database that you can look at once you have a library card that allows you to do interlibrary loan. And then you don't have to be dependent on your library per se. So you can ask your local library, how do I get an interlibrary loan card? and then once you get it, then you can use that card's membership number or library card number to check the book out. You designate the library that you want to pick the book up at, and that other library sends it to the library of your choice. Your library sends you a notification, hey, your book is here, come and pick it up. And that's how you do it.
Well, that's good for the audience to know, too. It gives the audience ideas.
Cool. Okay. Well, happy 2023. Happy birthday, Brian. And it was such a great afternoon. Thank you guys so much. I really respect Ray so much. And I just found what everybody shared was so great, really. Thank you.
Yeah, that's imagining a meetup, right? People in different parts of the country and Canada, United States, and like-minded, and Zoom and meetup. It's just magical, you know? It's an easy job for me as chairman. I set it up. I just, okay, you, it's a pretty easy job for me.
No, that's awesome. You already have a comment, by the way, on the meetup page for today's event, asking where the recording's going to be. So.
Oh yeah, well, it says right on the face page of our it's, we have our YouTube channel and our BitChute channel. So it's linked right on the face page of our page.
Maybe that's good. Maybe that person will see it. Okay.
Yeah, and also, I like to ask people to leave a comment yourself on the meetup about how
I already did. Was.
Well, thank you. So I guess we should wrap up. This has been a dazzling success. Thanks for coming, everyone. Thanks for Ray. I'm just over the top. I'm speechless. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye now, folks. See you.
This is the transition talk from the active to the more passive and moving towards stillness. And we do this through this rarely talked about element called Passadi, which we could translate as tranquility. But I want to emphasize the importance of the structure of the seven factors and how you can use them just in a practical way. And in fact, how you do use them in your practical life. You may not have noticed this or understood this.
Sorry, folks, I lost track of the ending of the talk, though. So that was the end of part five of Ray Hernandez, who's director of the Consciousness in Contact Research Institute. So I just want to give you a preview what's coming up next week. I did a video a week after that with Judy Carroll. She's in Australia. She's an experiencer all of her life. So I'll just play a bit of that. So to preview for next week, here we go.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.